Welcome back, you nasty motherfuckers. We are back once again for Nasty Girl Podcast with your girl Hazel. Welcome back once again to Nasty Girl Podcast. I'm your host, Hazel, and we are at it again. Oh my God. Y'all, I'm not really going to waste no time because I'm really excited for this episode. Like, I'm really excited for this episode because I've been wanting to do an episode like this for so long. I just never really had, like, the courage, I guess, to do it. So I want to just go ahead and just jump right in and give you guys my, you know, my weekly update. My weekly update may be a little bit triggering, but, you know, trigger warning to anybody out there who are dealing with stuff like this. But first thing I'm gonna say is packing. I do not want to pack any fucking thing in my fucking house. I hate my house. I don't want to move. I don't want to move at all. I'm mad that I'm moving. I don't like the place that I'm moving to. And I don't feel like fucking packing. I do not feel like fucking packing. Literally, I just started packing today and I move next Friday. Like, I literally just started packing today. You know what I packed? You know what the fuck I packed? All my Apple products. The boxes. I have literally every single Apple product that I have bought boxed in a certain area, right? So I packed that. That's all I fucking put in a box. And I move on Friday. Today is Wednesday. I move next Friday. So by the time this episode drops, literally, I'll be moving that following Friday. And I've only packed one thing. One fucking thing. I'm so fucking depressed. Like, honestly. I wanted to touch on this subject just a little bit. And again, this could be a little bit triggering for some people who are dealing with depression. My depression is real critical. Like, it's crippling. It's the worst feeling in the world to me at points. I don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like getting up. I am not productive. I can barely do my job. And I put on a fake facade. And I've been struggling with depression for a couple of years now, and it's like comes and goes, but when it hits hard, it hits hard. Anyone who has depression or has dealt with depression understands, like, that crippling depression really just attacks you at the worst time. Now, I have anxiety, I'm not gonna lie. I'm the person who has anxiety. I have anxiety. Like, I have anxiety 24/7. I go to work, I have fucking anxiety. But depression and anxiety together is crippling. It makes it where I can't live life. And I think me not wanting to pack is also really adding on and giving my depression more fuel because it's like, oh, fuck it, we're just not going to pack. Oh, you could just pay for someone to come pack up your stuff because the movers that I paid for have a service for people to come and pack up your house. And I'm just like, no, I'm not paying for that. I'm not even going to ask how much it is because I don't want to pay no more fucking money. You know, I've already paid so much money into this fucking move. I don't pay no more money into it. And I don't feel like packing at all. Like, I just literally feel like I'm losing it. I really do. And whoever is out there who's dealing with depression, I want to honestly say, you're not alone. You're not alone. I felt alone for a long time until literally, like, I started seeing on social media how other people are feeling the exact same way that I'm feeling. So I wanted to definitely say this on my platform that if you are struggling with depression, you are not alone because I know how hard it is, and I promise it may seem like it's the end of the world right now, but when you do get on top, I promise it's gonna feel a whole lot better. When you do get out of this depression, get out of that state, it's gonna feel a whole lot better. But right now, I understand you just want to lay in your bed, girl or guy. But I promise, if you're listening to this, just get up. Just get up. But enough of that, y'all. Let me get to the real shit that y'all really can't listen to, honestly. Like, let me get to that real fucking juicy shit. And I've been really excited to do this episode, right? And I'm not an advocate. I'm not saying advocate. I'm not a speaker for the sex work, right? I don't advocate. I don't say or promote sex work. But however, I do believe that sex work is real work. I will say that. I believe that sex work is real work. That shit is fucking hard. That shit is draining. And that shit can really fuck with your mental, just like any other fucking job, right? And so this episode, by the title, y'all can tell, we're talking about cash pigs. Now, I honestly really love this because my man brought this to me. And again, like I said, I don't speak for every single sex worker, right? I don't speak for every single sex worker, but I do believe that sex work is real work. I do believe that. And I would not say that every sex worker is the same, and I would never say that every sex worker does the exact same thing. There's different parts of sex work other than strictly having sex for money. There is other parts of it. Same thing with being a stripper. I believe strippers are still a part of sex work, and I believe that is real work. However, we're going to talk about cash pigs today. And excuse my phone if whoever's watching via YouTube, I appreciate you guys. My computer's messed up. It is in the hospital, aka Apple Store. I'm getting it fixed. It's okay. So, anyone who's wondering what a cash pig is, by the way, this is the fetish of the week, y'all. A cash pig, or also known as a financial domination, is a submissive person, generally speaking of a man. Just gonna throw it out there. So sorry, men. Who gets sexually gratified or gets gratitude from being financially exploited. Ladies, these are the men that we should love the most out of the world. Honestly, we should love these men the most. I really honestly believe it. However, I will say this fetish is basically almost like having tricks. That is like more of the layman's term, right? Oh, you have a trick, or do you got niggas tricking off on you? You got men tricking off on you, right? But personally, a cash pig is literally only giving you money. They're not expecting anything else from it, right? They're not expecting sex. They're not expecting to see you. They're not expecting anything else. Mostly cash pigs are through via video or FaceTime calls or phone calls. And I want to use the example, if anyone has ever seen the show Euphoria, well, most of y'all probably have, right? I love Euphoria, but the first season, Kat's character was a financial dominatrix. That's what she was. A lot of people didn't understand what she was doing, but that's what she was doing, where she would manipulate or insult, make men feel like they're not shit for money. And again, why I say sex work is work, because not only could that fuck with your mental on steadily downing someone, you could feel like a bully, or you could feel, you know, whatever. It's hard to only talk shit about someone that would do so much for you. It's hard. You have to take yourself out of the situation. And that's why I say sex work is real work, because these women have to pretend like they don't care for someone who is basically almost probably paying their bills or doing anything that they want for them, or worshiping their feet, worshiping the ground they walk on. And you have to treat this person like they ain't shit. So these men preferably do not care for sexual favors, right? They do not want to fuck. I'm going to say that. They do not want to fuck. What turns them on the most is humiliation and insults. Those are the main things that turn them on. So if I was to have a cash pig, let's just go ahead and use me as an example. Now, I do not have one. Go ahead and throw that out there. But if anybody's offering, you know, go ahead and hit me in my DMs. I'm just playing. But if I was to have a catch pig, talking about someone's body or talking about somebody's small dick or talking about someone's, you know, overweightness or their skinniness or stuff like that, those are the things that you have to do. You have to literally humiliate them all the way to the core. Now, a lot of people think that, oh, cash pigs are just going to give up money instantly, right? These men are not rich. Let's go ahead and put that out there. These men, cash pigs, are not rich. These are not rich sugar daddies. Sugar daddies, I already discussed that in the last past episode. Please go listen to it if you have not already. These are not sugar daddies. These are men, regular 9-to-5 ass niggas. Regular 9-to-5, 8-to-4, working overnight shifts, ass motherfuckers. That's what they are. They are regular people like you and me. They do not have all the money in the world, but they will give you their whole entire paycheck, even if it is only $400, $500, give you their whole entire paycheck. But you can't expect to get thousands, ten thousands, hundred thousands of dollars out of these men. Not gonna lie. Not out of one person. Maybe out of multiple if you had a nice, you know, round up nice little basketball team of them. But who really has all that time to put into that many people? Which brings me to the fact of, how do you find a cash pig? Now, that is the main question I think that a lot of women would ask, right? How do you find a cash pig? If you're interested in being a financial dominatrix, and that's a woman, if you're interested in becoming a financial dominatrix, how would you find a cash pig? Now, I did a lot of research, y'all. But before I go into how you particularly find one, I will give you the things that you need to know before becoming a financial dominatrix. Is, one, a lot of men do not care what you look like. Think about that. Let that sink in. They do not give a flying fuck what you look like. So you might as well, just like any euphoria, wear a mask. Wear some kind of form of clothing to cover your face. You know? They don't give a fuck. They don't give a flying fuck what your face looks like. At all. They're not here for that. You could not have the biggest tits or the biggest ass. They are not here for that. They are not. They are here for a conversation of humiliation and bullshit. That's what they're on. Not gonna lie. Now, you need to establish as well what you believe you are worth. Now, again, these men are not rich. I will say that proudly and say that some of these men probably work overnight. Some of these men work regular jobs, construction jobs, work security jobs, work in restaurants, whatever. These men are not rich. Establish what you are worth, but also what they can afford. So get that. Like, also make sure you know what you're worth and what they can afford. If it's only $50 and you feel like, okay, right now he can only give me $50, but maybe in a month or two, he could be giving me $200. All right, that sounds like a nice, reasonable transaction. But don't let nobody lowball you and give you $10. Nah, I ain't gonna lie. $10 out the roof. $50, again, men are not rich. $100, pretty decent. $200, decent. Don't go asking for $500, $1,000, $2,000. Don't go asking for that. From these men, no. They can go find another financial dominatrix that's going to do it for $50 to $200. Simple as that. Also, do your research. Make sure that you know what you're getting yourself into. Because everybody wants to become a stripper. Everyone wants to get into the sex work industry and think it's so easy. No, it's not. It's mentally draining. It is. It is a lot. From me knowing sex workers myself, me knowing people who are in the sex work industry myself, knowing that how hard it is to remain yourself is the hardest thing. So don't think that this is just going to be easy. Do your research. Find out what men like to see or what you're trying to portray. If you're trying to portray a young female or a queen or whatever, if you're trying to portray someone who dresses up like anime and, you know, humiliate men, you know, you could dress up like a Mortal Kombat character, Cortana, you know, and talk shit about men. These are the things that you need to do your research on and find out what you're comfortable with doing, what you're comfortable with wearing, and going under a different alias as well to also protect yourself, but also give them that fantasy that they're looking for. I will say that nowadays, cash pics are easier to find than they were before. Back in 2016, when, you know, I was doing what I was doing, la la la, you know, in a strip club, whatever, cash pics were not easy to find, right? Tricks were easy to find, but cash pics, not easy to find. Now, you can find those men everywhere. It's like more liberating for them because now it's not such a shameful thing to be a cash pig. It's not shameful anymore. Just like a lot of things, like stripping is not shameful anymore, right? We're in 2022. Everybody and they goddamn mama want to be a stripper. Like, honestly. And half of you bitches came and dance. Half of you bitches came and do pole work. All y'all want to do is just get up there and twerk. I ain't paying no fucking money for that. I want to see a fucking show. Just saying. Just saying. But I'll leave that for a whole nother conversation, I guess. But cash pigs, they are so much easier to find because now they don't have to be hidden in the shadows. So where do you find a cash pig? How do you find a cash pig? Now, a lot of people have told me, and I did a lot of research as well, Twitter is the best way to find anyone because it's so much exposure. Like one retweet, that could get you literally so many other people to see your stuff that don't even follow you. You know, Twitter makes it where you see anything from anywhere all because of this retweet or a like. If someone that you followed retweeted it, that means all their followers can see that they retweeted it, right? Like, all these things. It's so much easier to find people nowadays. Now, I will say, I'm not going to give specific websites because, again, I can pay for no promotion, but I will give specific website. I would not give specific website, but I will say that you can find cash pigs on camming sites. Not giving no specific websites again, but a camming, cam girl sites. Because men want to see you via video. They don't care what you look like. Again, they don't care what you look like. They just want to hear you humiliate them, insult them. They want to hear you talk to them. They want you to make them bow down to you, call you queen, call you master, call you whatever, you know? That right there is something you could just do with a camera in front of you. Literally. Camming sites are the best thing. Now, I will say, definitely use hashtags. Definitely use hashtags if you're looking for cash pigs and you want to do private sessions and they want to do private sessions. Use hashtags to make sure you find those cash pigs on the camming sites or you're going to get a whole bunch of randoms. But if you use those hashtags and let people know upfront, hey, I'm only looking for cash pigs, then you know what you're looking for, right? So men are going to already read it like, hey, if it says cash pigs only or it says I'm a financial dominatrix, men know what the fuck that means. Men know, oh, this ain't for me. Or, oh, this is for me. I'm about to go see what she's doing on this camming site. So definitely, again, like I said, they don't care what you look like. They don't. They do not care what you look like at all. I personally would probably dress up, again, probably like Cortana, because that's my favorite Mortal Kombat character. And I would gladly insult men for money. I probably would let them, you know, pay a couple of bills or whatever, you know. Also, I almost forgot to say, when doing this, choose a form of payment that is not trackable, but I would say secure. Like PayPal and Zelle. I hate using Cash App. Do not use Cash App. I hate it. It's like the worst thing ever. Do not use it. Use Zelle or PayPal when you're dealing with these kind of men. Zelle or PayPal. And like I said, you can start off small. You know, you got to make sure you know what you're asking for from these men. Because they're going to want to give you their money, right? They want to have that sexual strive of you humiliating them, even if it's publicly, even if it's in a whole room full of other cash pigs and you're talking to one specific person and they just tipped you $100 on a camming site and they'd be like, oh, okay, my name is such and such, and then you're talking to such and such in front of everyone, right? That's what they're looking for. They're looking for you to do the most. Not the most, but they're looking for you to give them the attention that they want. Because most of these men are not going to say insecure, but most of these men don't get probably a lot of attention. Again, these are regular people. So you want to treat them like regular people. Now, I did definitely say that I don't advocate for the sex work industry. I don't sit there and speak for all sex workers, no. But I did want to touch on one more thing before we get out of here for today is stripping. Stripping. Everybody wants to be a stripper nowadays. And that's fine and dandy. That's cool and all. But if you want to become a stripper, please, again, do your research. Do your research. Do your research on the clubs you're trying to work at. Do your research on outfits, shoes. You know, don't go buy those, you know, stupid ass, high ass 8-inch shoes if you don't know how to walk in them. Because if you fall on fucking stage, I promise you, nobody's coming to pick you up. Nobody's coming to pick you up. None of the girls, none of the bouncers, none of the managers. Nobody is coming to pick you the fuck up. You gonna have to get your dumb ass the fuck up and walk your dumb ass off stage or continue your goddamn stage set. Also, remember, there are veteran girls that are there. Don't try to go in and act like you know more than the veterans. It's the most irritating thing that I've heard, honestly. That, oh, I'm going to come and I'm going to start stripping and I'm going to make $1,000 in one night. No, you're a baby stripper. You don't know what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with being a baby stripper, but at least try to learn from the girls. And you're not going to be able to learn from all of them. None of the girls in the strip club is your friend. So you have to learn how to ear hustle. That is the one advice I'm going to give you. Ear hustling. Every woman in this world is nosy as hell. So this is the perfect place to be nosy. Listen to what the other girls are saying. Listen to what's going on. Who got the money, whatever. And if you are out on the floor, watch the girls on stage that's making the most money. Look and see what they're doing that you're not doing. And if you can't do it, show up early. Come to the morning shifts and practice. Don't act like you're going to make $1,000 in one night on your first night. No, that's not going to happen. You make a good $200, $300, but not $1,000. Even if your first night is a Saturday night. Because I'm telling you, all those vet girls, they're getting the money. And don't think because you became a stripper automatically, you're going to have to do private dances or whatever, right? Some girls only do, you know, stage dances. That's what some girls are into. Some girls work the floor. That's what some girls are. Some girls work the VIP room only. Again, ear hustling. Figure out where you want to be at. What girl do you want to be? Some girls do pole tricks. Some girls are only twerkers. Some girls literally are the only ones that just talk to men all day and have them buy drinks because they know how to, they have a mouthpiece on them. They know how to talk to men to get them to tip them without having to do anything. Just literally sitting there and talking and men are giving them money just for talking. Again, I think that TikTok and the social media within itself has blown up the whole stripping and sex work community. And now everyone wants to be a stripper, make money like a stripper, and all this other stuff. But again, sex work is hard. It's not easy. Staying up till 2, 3, 4 a.m. in the morning because the strip club doesn't close till 2 a.m. And if you work at certain strip clubs, you got to tip out, you got to tip the DJ. And then in some strip clubs, you got to count the money first, and then it gets distributed through all the girls. Whoever girls was working that night, you have to stay until the end of the night till all the money is counted. Tip out is already done. The tip out for the DJ is already done. And then they disperse of the money, of how much money you made between each and every girl. Like, it's a lot. It's a fucking lot. Like, it's the things that they don't want to tell you on TikTok. All they want to tell you is, oh, I made $500, or I made $1,200, I made $2,000. That's all they want to tell you. But they're not telling you how they have bruises everywhere. They're not telling you how it hurts to fucking stand, or they haven't slept in 2 days, or they high off of Adderall, high off of Xanax, they're high off of something, and they haven't slept in days. Like, it's hard. Don't think that just because it's a lot of money that can be made, that the shit's not a real fucking job. That shit's tiring. Yeah, some girls don't go to work but once or twice a day. I mean, once or twice a week, sorry. Once or twice a week. And those are the vet girls that know that they're going to come into the club and make $1,200, $1,100, maybe $2,000, and then go home and it'll be good for that whole week. You won't be able to do that as a baby stripper, no. You have to go there every single fucking day to make money. Or mostly maybe five days out the week. Unlike the other girls who are going for what? One day, 2 days, maybe even a third day just because they're bored. You can't be like those. And those are the girls that are on TikTok showing you that they're making thousands of dollars because they've been in the game for years. They know how to make $1,000 a night and not have to go to work every single day. So my advice is, honestly, if you're thinking about becoming a stripper, do your research. Do your research on the clubs, honestly. And at this point, I really just think it'd be better for girls to be bottle girls, because I really don't think that y'all are really comfortable with everything that comes along with it. Because at the end of the day, yes, the money is good, but the things that men will try to do because you're in the strip club is draining, irritating, and exhausting. It doesn't matter if they say you can't touch. They're still going to try to touch. They're still going to try to move things out the way so they can see your area. They're still going to try to do things that they shouldn't be doing. They're going to probably still try to put money in places they shouldn't be putting money in, you know? And then you have to deal with the fact that a lot of married men show up to the strip club. And in some cases, sometimes the wife shows up to the strip club angry as hell, ready to be upset with you for just doing your fucking job. And is it your fault? No. But they don't give a fuck. They don't give a flying shit. So I'm just saying, honestly, I think that a lot of y'all should really think about before becoming strippers. And honestly, if you're going to become a stripper, not buy those ugly ass fucking long 8-inch fucking heels. And y'all know what I'm fucking talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Those are the most ugliest fucking shoes. And we know that you can't walk in those. Buy some shoes that you can fucking walk in, even if it's like 3-4 inches, and deal with that. Simple as that. Buy you a nice cute little outfit. Don't buy every single outfit that you fucking think that's cute. Buy 3 or 4 outfits that you can change around until you start making some money, because those outfits are expensive. Expensive as fuck. For them to be literally no clothing, be literally strings, be expensive as fuck. So definitely keep that in fucking mind, honestly, ladies. Keep that in mind. For all the men out there, if you are listening and you are a cash pig, I greatly appreciate you. I just want to say that. I greatly appreciate you. Every man out there deserves to be loved in any kind of way. And if that's your form of love, I want you to know that I greatly appreciate it. I do. I greatly appreciate it. Anyone who wants to become a stripper as well, think about it. Do your research, honestly. Don't go to any strip club that you think that you're going to make money in. Learn about the strip club. Learn who goes there. Go in there and just see how it is, you know? See the atmosphere. See what goes on in the club. And just watch it for yourself. But that concludes the episode, guys. Honestly, I am really excited for this journey with us again. I am tired. I am exhausted again. And this podcast honestly keeps me going. I really love it. I really love that all you guys support me and everything that I do. And I really like to educate you guys on different things. And if you want to find a cash pig, please, ladies, go do it. Just be prepared for all the stuff that you have to deal with it. And if you have any stories that you want to DM me, I would greatly appreciate it. My Instagram will be down below at the bottom. And like I said, my description will have all of my links in it. Also, we are on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Make sure you rate me on Apple Podcasts. I love you guys so, so much. And again, like I always, always say, you bottom feeder ass niggas, I love the fucking most. Y'all have a great fucking day, and I really hope that y'all do some nasty ass shit for me. Bye.